But first, we got a text from George. We were all on a text chain last night, and you texted very late, I thought. And I thought this was when you were supposed to be on the plane. Okay, see you guys in the morning. And I was like, is he already here? Or is he texting from DFW? Has he not left yet? The timeline didn't make any sense in my mind.
Uh-huh.
And then when we all met this morning in the lobby at 2:45 local time, you said that we wouldn't believe your travel story.
It's the worst day of air travel that I've ever experienced. And I tried to leave as late as possible yesterday. I thought we were going to be coming back from out of town. As it turns out, we weren't, but gave me some more time at home, got some things done before I left. You know, we're gone for 2 weeks. And as you suggested, we fly into Santa Barbara. So I found a flight, and to be very company friendly, I did a connecting flight, leaving mid-afternoon from Dallas, going through Phoenix, and then on to Santa Barbara. And it still got me in here kind of late, because it was going to be arrival at Santa Barbara at 6:30. But still, you know, once I get, it's 7:30 or 8 by the time I get to the hotel, I can still get a decent night's sleep. Well, everything's fine. The flight to Phoenix was uneventful, no big deal. And then I get out and go to my connecting flight, and I hear the announcement that my flight has been moved. I arrived, you know, left Dallas-Fort Worth 3:19. But by the time you land in Phoenix, it's almost 5:30 Dallas time, but it's 3:30 there. So I know my flight that I'm supposed to catch is 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So I immediately hear the announcement, or I'm sorry, I get a text that says, your flight and your gate has been changed. Make note, it's now leaving at 7 o'clock.
Ooh, beat
down. So I went, oh, gosh, that's another 2 hours. Okay, so that gets me in at 8:30. Get my bags. Okay. Oh, still 9:30 or 10. That's bad, but I'll get some work done here in the airport and it won't be too bad. Well, then another announcement. This time it was an announcement at the gate. I'm sorry. The flight from Phoenix to Santa Barbara has been further delayed. Our takeoff time is now 8 o'clock.
Were they saying why?
Well, I finally found out why. I went up to the gate and I said, what's the problem? They were waiting on a plane to get here from Long Beach, and they had a mechanical problem.
Okay.
So this guy, it was really, I could almost do a segment just on this guy at the gate who was talking to passenger after passenger and playing the part of stand-up comedian. It
right.
was part genius because he eventually won over the crowd. He'd get on the mic and start making funny announcements and people really thought he was funny, but at the same time, people are frustrated. They want to get to their destination, either their home or where they're traveling to, and they don't really want to hear a bunch of, you know, shtick. So we had to listen to his announcements for a while. 8 o'clock became 8:15, and they said, well, okay. And there was a question, would that plane get there? Because what if it didn't take off Long Beach? What then?
Right.
Well, all the flights had left Phoenix, so I checked the drive time from Phoenix to Los Angeles was 5.5 hours.
You considered that?
I considered it. And as it turned out, that would have got me in bed sooner than what happened.
Oh, my God.
So I said, I'm going to wait this out because that plane's on its way from Long Beach. So the plane gets there from Long Beach around 7:45. We board. And around 8:15, we take off.
Okay, that's 10:15 p.m. Dallas time.
Correct.
And you're just now taking
just
off
now,
for Santa Barbara.
Just now leaving Phoenix. So then he said, it's a short flight. I think we can get there in about an hour and 20 minutes. And then I start seeing, you know, after a while, and I was doing some reading and really couldn't sleep much because I was starting to think, wow, this is going to be a late night. Okay, I can get 3 hours maybe. That's not too bad. I mean, that's bad, but it's not a disaster. Then I start seeing the lights of Los Angeles. So I thought, okay, we're getting close. We're going to hang a ride here and go to Santa Barbara. And all of a sudden the pilot comes on and says, yes, your attention, please. There is a fog that has set in over Santa Barbara. And it may be a situation where we would have to circle the airport. We don't have enough fuel to do that. So we're going to land and refuel in Burbank.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, okay, how long does that take to refuel? Just put a couple of gallons in. That ought to be enough to get us to Santa Barbara, right?
You can run on empty for a little while. I mean, yeah, my car does.
I do it all the time. So we land in Burbank, and now we've got a situation. We've got several of them. I should have noted that when I first got on this plane from Phoenix to Santa Barbara, that a row back we have a woman in her what appeared to be 60s and a woman in her 30s. And there is no subject that they didn't want to talk about and talk about at a really loud level.
Nonstop.
Never stop talking. And at first it was just kind of cute and okay, that's, they seem like pleasant people. But, I mean, they covered everything from politics to what are your top cleaners at your house and all. They were just going on and on. So as we're on the ground in Burbank, that was still going. Meantime, we've gone to a smaller plane. We're on one of those MD-80s, I think.
You changed planes?
Changed planes. No. We changed planes in Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
And I got on the thing, man, this is kind of small, kind of like the one you were on, Gordo, where it's two seats on one side, three on the other. That's a little bit smaller.
Yeah, I think mine was two and two.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's
okay.
What mine was.
This was a two and a three, I think. Yeah. It's all a little fuzzy to me, but I just know this plane was smaller. So, you know me, I'm a little bit claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the ground, and the plane, it's relatively pleasant, but it's starting to heat up a little bit and get stuffy as we're waiting to refuel. Meantime, there's a woman, I don't know if she has claustrophobia or the fact that she has two young kids that are both screaming. She told them she wanted to get off of the plane in Burbank.
I was going to say, that might be a good option for you, rent a car from
Thought
Burbank.
About it. Thought about that. Because I said, okay, well, she's going to deplane here, then I will too. Well, the problem is Burbank only had one open gate, and they had a plane there. And as they were refueling, they said, we're going to stop here and refuel, and meantime, hopefully the gate will clear up, and for those who want to deplane here in Burbank, we'll give you that option. So I started thinking about that. I was thinking, well, my bags, though, are going to go to Santa Barbara.
Right.
So then I'm going to have to drive to Santa Barbara again. So I'm just going to stick this out. Okay. Well, we refueled. So I think we're going to go to the gate. But there is no availability at the gate. We can't go to the gate. This woman was protesting. She would not sit down unless they let her off the plane.
Wow.
She was freaking out. So I'm starting to freak out.
Like, what is she saying? Is she saying?
She's crying. She's at the very front of the plane. I didn't exactly. I heard from second-hand reports on what was going on. I could see she was visibly upset. She was crying.
Kids are crying.
Kids are screaming. The husband's trying to comfort them. Meantime, she's just freaking out. She wants off the plane. She wants to get her family off the plane. Meantime, I'm starting to hyperventilate just a little bit because it's really stuffy now. And
yes,
I've got this
yes.
woman up here who's freaking out. I'm kind of with her.
Please let me off. Please. I'm just begging you. I'm begging you. Please.
I thought I was going to start crying and jumping
up
and down.
Oh, my God. I can't breathe in here. It's so stuffy. I cannot breathe.
The conundrum. Either we couldn't go to the gate because they wouldn't let us, and we couldn't take off because this passenger would not sit down.
God, what a nightmare.
Genius.
So I went to the back of the plane to try to just get, it was really cool back there and I had to go wee-wee. So as I went back there, there was a stewardess who was just taking it in the shorts on this passenger. Why can't you do something? Do something to her. Make her sit down. We've got to go to Santa Barbara. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, sir, you're not making anything better. They're doing the best they can. Then he starts going at me.
Oh, yeah. Okay, big-time radio guy. Now you're telling me what to do.
I didn't say that. I said, man, I'm about to hyperventilate. I'm claustrophobic.
Yeah,
I'm having a really tough time here too. We're all in this together. Meantime, the two gab birds kept going, never stopped.
God.
So I went back, sat down, told the guy next to me. I said, "Man, we got some problems here," and I informed him what was going on. And by then, more and more people were whispering. Finally, they convinced her to sit down, and we took off, and we landed in Santa Barbara at around midnight.
2 a.m. Dallas time.
2 a.m. Dallas time. Went, got my bags, went out, and there was very little Uber activity, but there happened to be cabs lined up. Jumped in a cab.
Oh, Lord.
By the time I got to our hotel, checked in, set my alarm, it said, your alarm will go off in 1 hour and 1 minute.
You got 1 hour.
It was 1:15 California.
Did you even manage to sleep in that hour?
A little bit. But I kept thinking, I'm going to sleep through my alarms. I'm so exhausted. I'm going to sleep through my alarms. I didn't. I got right up. The hot shower felt really good, and that woke me up a little bit. And some, yeah, so I'm working on an hour 10 because of when I left Dallas at 3 o'clock Dallas time and got in at about 2 o'clock Dallas time, 11 hours.
That is brutal. And you know what? You were trying to do the company a favor by doing the connecting flight.
Yeah.
Probably should have gone with the direct
flight. Probably should have gone direct.
Because you're bringing a lot more into play when you connect.
How much was that cab ride?
Don't worry about that one right now.
Uh-oh.
We're working on that one.
Was it three figs?
No. Oh, yeah. I thought you said it was a 300. No, but yeah. It was over $100.
Damn.
Sorry, Cat. So, Cat's bitter.
Well, you're a real trooper for hanging in there this morning.
Oh, man. So that's the travel story I wanted to tell you. All right, 749 on the ticket. Up next is a running back worth the money.
Told you yesterday about his travel day from hell on Sunday getting out here. Did you catch up on your sleep yesterday?
I did. I took nearly a five-hour nap. And that was really the, that was almost the secondary story, the fact that, you know, I got in really late and only had an hour of sleep. I was just so thankful to make it here. I almost, like, kissed the ground when I got to Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. It was that long, and for those who missed the story yesterday, everyone has had a delay at one point in their traveling life, that you've had a plane that's late leaving the gate, or maybe you get stuck on the tarmac. Well, I had both the other day, to where we had several delays at the gate. Then we finally took off and got rerouted because the approach into Santa Barbara was a little bit iffy. They had fog coverage, so they felt like they may have to circle, and they didn't have enough fuel to do that. So instead of landing in Santa Barbara late at night, we landed in Burbank to get more fuel. And there is where it went sideways, because when we landed there, they gave passengers the option. And this is what I don't know, because the commotion was going on at the head of the plane, the front of the plane, right behind first class, like the first row behind first class. And the problem was, there was a woman who had two kids, and she was ready to get off the plane. She did not want to sit there, and while we refueled, she wanted to deplane. And they gave us that option as we were landing. They said, for those who want to depart here and deplane in Burbank, we'll give you that choice. Now, maybe she had already said something to, maybe she was already having problems or something when she heard we're going to land in Burbank. She told them, hey, I want to get off of this plane. I don't know how that started. But the conundrum was, they gave her that option and anyone else, but then we couldn't go to a gate because they did not have the personnel there at Burbank to man the gate and to, you know, extend that tunnel and get everybody off the plane that wanted to get off the plane. So once we refueled, we couldn't go to the gate for people to depart or deplane, and this woman would not sit down. She refused to sit down. I also didn't mention this yesterday. There were two police cars outside the plane. So I don't know, was she on the verge of getting somehow kicked off and arrested? Was that an option?
Which, probably.
Probably so.
Why else would they be there?
Well, I don't know if that was a part of a security thing when you refuel out, you know, because they were there from the very beginning. Or did the pilot radio ahead and say, hey, we've got an issue on this plane, we may have to kick somebody off, and that's why the police were there? I don't know. I don't know if that was part of procedure for refueling or what. And again, that was part of the problem, was I was just getting bits and pieces of information. But I had my own struggle because it was a smaller plane, just two seats on one side, three on the other, and it seemed really small when we were refueling and on the tarmac for about an hour in 40 minutes, and the air started to get stuffy and things like that.
Can I ask you about that configuration? Because
yeah.
I've always thought it, two seats on one side, three on the other, is a standard jet.
It's, you know what? It was two and two.
Okay.
It was 2-2. Yeah, I said 2-3. It was 2-2.
Yeah, now so 2-2 is a
that's
smaller.
That's an MD-80, I think, right? And then what that's
no,
called?
An MD-80 no, an MD-80 was
is that 2-3?
A regular size.
Yeah,
pie.
Okay. This is the smaller version, whatever. It was smaller. So, and it's, the ceiling seemed lower, and again, I haven't, like, had this fully evaluated what my issue is with just feeling closed in, but I just know I have, it bothers me. There's no doubt about it. You guys saw on one plane when we sat for about 30 minutes flying back to DFW on a bigger plane, I had to go back to the back and regather myself.
Well, isn't your issue claustrophobia because you've told us before that you can't go into, like, caverns?
Yeah, that's what I found out when we went to those caverns in Central Texas, and I couldn't take it. I had to get out of there.
But I thought it wasn't claustrophobic as much as it was, and I forget the term for it, but it's the no escape thing.
Maybe.
And it's again, not necessarily the small area, although that factors into it and dovetails with it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you've been in, like, inside your truck, you don't feel that way.
No.
Even though it's a smaller area, it's because you're allowed egress.
Yeah.
It's when you're down in something and there's not a real easy way out.
Yeah. That may be it. Like I said, I've never had it fully evaluated and talked to someone who knows really what they're... I just know...
Well, you are now.
Tight spaces.
So.
You have no idea what you're talking about. But, yeah, and it was really interesting when it happened. I really had to convince myself not to become what that the behavior that that woman was displaying of just freaking out.
Let me off. Let me off the plane, please. Please, let me out of here.
Yeah.
I gotta get out of here. I can't breathe. Oh, my God, I can't breathe. Oh, my collar's so tight.
But And I had to keep telling myself, okay, just stay here by the air and don't become part of the problem. That's why I kept telling myself, don't become part of the problem.
God, I wish we were there.
I'm so glad you weren't.
Why?
I think you would have seen the situation and you wouldn't have been the jerk that you were last time and acted like you were hot and you couldn't breathe.
No, I was the same. I was in the same boat as you were last time.
I'm so sorry. But, I mean, I really was starting to freak out. And it was... But then it got to the point where I felt like I was almost paralyzed, where it was the cabin was shrinking in, and I was like hugging myself, and I was just being really quiet, and I kind of started rocking. I caught myself kind of rocking back and forth. I was like, what is wrong with you? And yeah, I was just like trying to hold myself just to, you know, stay in frame, but it was interesting to look around because other people did become part of the problem. I told you about the two women who... Through it all, somehow it never changed their conversation outside of about every 15 minutes. Oh, what's the hold up? You know, this reminds me of a flight that was delayed once when I was flying into New Jersey. And what happened there was, and they would just keep going and
keep
talking.
Why did you have to call them women?
Well, that's what they were.
Well, you don't have to give that detail as if it's important.
They had long hair and boobs, so I would call that a woman.
Oh my gosh, that's offensive.
They were presenting as women.
Yes, I'm sorry, presenting as women, and he had high voices. So my guess is woman there. But some people were aggressive. What's the delay? What? Can someone talk to us? What's going on up there? How come we don't have answers?
I hate the dude who's aggressive.
Yeah, and it was mainly dudes. A guy
gotta get to the bottom of this.
I got to get home and feed my dog. Who's going to take care of my dog?
Some guy actually said that?
Yeah.
You know what, those people...
That's not that great of an excuse.
Those people don't help the situation.
No.
But I always feel like the airline and the pilot and the flight attendants under-communicate. Like, I think they could settle everybody down if they were to give you updates every 5 minutes instead of every 45 minutes.
I think that's a good quick update here.
But then you get the plane full of groans and they're having to take them to the shorts.
Yeah,
they're doing exactly what you want them to, which is communicate, but then they communicate and then they got to take them to the shorts.
I'd much rather have information. Even if it's bad information, I need constant information.
Yes, and I don't think we had... I thought the crew handled it pretty well except for that very thing, communication. We had a very lack of communication from the pilot. When he talked...
We had a very lack of communication. Something's interesting.
We had a lack of communication from the crew in general. But when the pilot talked, it was, to me, soothing. Because he was very calm, had a calm delivery. There was a flight attendant who talked. I'm just going to throw it out there. It was a problem in the plane. You could not understand her.
What?
I don't think English was her first language.
Oh, she had a very that's offensive.
I'm just saying, she had a very thick accent, and we couldn't understand what she was saying.
He's angling towards, let's build a wall.
I am not.
This is your wall, Ryan.
I'm just talking about communication. And when after she would talk, you'd hear eight or nine people, I was nervously rocking back and forth trying to stay close to the air, they would say, what did she say? What did she say? What was that last word? I didn't even understand that. What did she say? Have the pilot say something. And people were getting more and more aggressive, and
Didn't you hook your mouth up to the nozzle to get more air? Were you nursing off of it?
Eventually.
Like a cow teat?
Nursed off the air just as I was rocking back and forth. And then, but there are also people who were trying to calm other people. There was a really sweet woman about four rows up, and she went up, tried to calm the woman down who was freaking out. She came back in a very calm. She said, "Hey, it's going to be okay. I think we're good. I think it's getting better." Because she could tell a lot of people were really getting upset. And this whole time, that's my biggest. I think it is my biggest fear. These stories through the years and news in the news about an airplane out on the tarmac for 3 hours or even longer than that.
Mm-hmm. The quotes are overflowing.
The thought of that just terrifies me. It's like being locked in a trunk or a coffin to me. And, man, I was really having a tough time. So I stood up at one point, went to the back of the plane.
Ripped your shirt off.
No, I thought it'd help me if I went wee-wee. So I went back to go wee-wee.
And that's when
creepy.
I encountered the guy who was really aggressive. And he was so aggressive that he upset the flight attendant. She was going back with water, and she was like, her hands were shaking. And she was going, water? Water? Does anyone want water? And
no, I don't want water. What I want is you guys get this plane going.
What I want is an answer. I want an answer. What's going on? And so
she made the
mistake of starting to explain it. Well, tell her to get the hell off the plane. And I said, hey, we're all in the same. I became a soother to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started.
Which is unusual because usually you're an agitator.
Oh, I am not.
No, I think when you confront people, you always confront them aggressively. You never.
Well, if it requires that, sometimes it does.
You're always, hey, chiefing people.
Well, sometimes they need to be chiefed. But I didn't chief this guy. Oh, there's a window closing there.
Oh, no. Is that Brad Chan's room up there?
Yeah, because I thought I saw his garters.
Okay. As we study human behavior, George just went from, I am not that kind of guy, to 1 second later, well, sometimes they need to be cheap.
Well, sometimes they do. But I was not that way. I just told this guy in a really calm voice, hey, we're on the same boat. I said, hey,
you're sweating
be...
and shirtless.
I wasn't shirtless. I said, hey, I got to be to work, you know, in a couple hours. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And he goes, well, I've already missed work. Sorry, man, but we're all here trapped.
I love this guy.
What's it going to do? But I think if we would have been on that tarmac,
what we're going to do is get some answers.
If we would have been on that tarmac for more than 15 minutes, I don't know what would have happened. People were, I thought, this close to just losing it, including me. Like, I don't think it would have. Was I about to start crying and saying, I got to get off the plane,
Somebody please kill me.
But I hung in there and I stayed calm. But I think we were really close to the breaking point, and this is where it leaves me now with planes. I don't have a fear of flying, but I have a fear of being on the plane and not flying. And if I had to take a flight today, I don't know if I could do it.
I don't know why that is so much worse. What is the thing about it that makes it so much worse?
It's the same thing as sitting in traffic. I'd rather be moving, even if I'm going 100 miles out of the way, than just sitting still in gridlock.
Right. But it just seems strange to me that we can sit on a plane for a five-hour flight, but sitting on a plane for 1 hour on a tarmac is so much more excruciating.
It's awful. But I just looked up the new law. You can only sit on the tarmac for
4 hours, right?
3 hours.
Yeah, that happened after just a few years ago, right? Wasn't there some incident where they sat on a tarmac for 8 hours?
Yeah. But doesn't 3 hours even seem too long?
An hour and a half seemed like a day to me
the
other night. And I don't think our collection of characters was going to make it an hour 45. 3 hours, I really think we would have had some sort of brawl.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it would have gotten out of hand.
And I think that it was exacerbated by the fact that you were on a smaller plane, too.
Yes.
You guys were really tight in there on those two and two little jets. They're not that big. And so you can hear everyone talking, and so everyone else's tension kind of spreads like a virus.
Yes. Yeah, it was
gosh,
really
I wish
tense.
I was there.
I'm so glad you weren't there.
It would have been so genius.
See, I think it would have kicked in with you. This is not just your ordinary, hey, we're going to be on the tarmac, I can crack some jokes. People would have killed you.
No, they
and I may have been the first.
No, they wouldn't have. And I would have loved to have gotten into it with those aggressive guys.
No, you don't want to go there.
So now, no, I want you to break this down for me about how your situation is a lot more important than ours.
Oh,
no, go ahead, lead me through this. Lead me through this.
Yeah, so
born into royalty. Global. Start with born into royalty and then move from there.
It would not have ended well. This guy would have charged you, and I would have had to break it up. It
would have been great.
It was an experience. And like I said, the lack of sleep was so secondary to just that experience of...
Did they serve you drinks? Did they ever offer you guys... Not
the
water.
Water never made it.
What? The water didn't?
No.
That's illegal.
No. It just... She was so freaked out by this guy, and then she got called back to the front of the plane by the pilot. We never got water.
What about serving drinks? Is that a good idea or a bad idea in that situation?
Then people have to go to the bathroom.
I'm talking about alcoholic drinks.
Oh, no. Terrible. Terrible.
Terrible.
And that just brings it up, just in general, in case you have a situation like that. That's why you shouldn't serve alcohol.
Well, can't they equip these planes with some sort of, you know, I mean, they're hooked into the air circulation system. Throw a little nitrous in there. Throw something in there to calm everyone down a little bit.
Not a bad idea. We needed some of that the other night.
Well, I'm glad you survived. I don't know if you'll ever get on a plane again, but I'm glad you survived. All right, 8:32 on the ticket. Coming up next, a visit with Dutch Pentameter.